There are some women who simply love going to retreats, conferences, and workshops, and I'm one of them. They can be worship experiences that are focused on igniting my heart for Jesus, workshops that inspire me to action, or they can be conferences that engage my brain. And honestly, if I could justify the time and expense, I'd go to every one of them out there. I think what I enjoy most about them is not that this is information or activities that I couldn't do in my own home on my own. I mean, I can grab a Bible and I can read the scriptures. I can pull down a book on apologetics or theology from my bookshelf. And I can put on my favorite worship CD and crank up the volume. Almost every popular speaker and worship artist has something that I can download and listen to wherever I want. However, there is something about being pulled away from that every day, the things that I'm responsible for, and then being able to fully immerse myself into these events. There are no distractions. I don't have to think about anything else, not even what I'm going to eat. Chances are, I'm eating at the first restaurant I come out of from the conference doors. Because I like going to these events, I also love planning them for women. I see them as a valuable tool and method for reaching women in the church and within the community. And they're often opportunities to corporately worship with my sisters in Christ from around the state, country, and sometimes even the world. And we are so blessed to be able to do that. As much fun as they are, we do have to be realistic. They are a lot of work, and they can also get very expensive if you're not carefully watching your budget. The benefit of these types of events is that they are usually paid for by the attendees. There's little money, if any, that's coming from the ministry budget itself. But before we dig into the details, let's define what these events are. Workshops are generally a short-term event. It may be a single day or even a couple of hours. Workshops are generally very focused on a particular subject. Your church may have offered something like a workshop in the past, like a parenting workshop with a guest speaker. Our church hosted a workshop for marriages with a local Christian counselor. They may even be more focused than that, like a workshop for parents of the youth about internet safety. Great workshop ideas for a women's ministry might include how to study your Bible, how to be a mentor, how to write a devotion, how to lead a small group. Workshops are sometimes offered for free, but other times there may be a small fee involved. Conferences. Now, conferences are the large events where attendees might be there for a couple of days. If a local church is hosting a conference, you may not need hotel accommodation. However, if you are attending a conference hosted by an organization, you may need to plan for hotel and transportation. Conferences are usually a big deal to put together, and often women's ministries will attend a conference put on by a larger ministry or organization. Then, the ministry only has to focus on working out those travel and lodging arrangements. Occasionally, however, a church will attempt to tackle a conference on their own. These require long-term planning strategies and many volunteers. Either way, conferences are generally more expensive than a workshop. On average, it can range from $100 to $150 or more for the conference ticket alone, and then you have to add the expenses for food, transportation, and hotel. Conferences will often include some sort of musical praise worship portion, multiple speakers either speaking on independent topics or part of an overall theme, and what are known as breakaway sessions. These are like mini workshops during the course of the conference. They're not always related to the overall theme of the conference, but sometimes various subjects of interest to those who are attending. Conferences will have some sort of merchandising area put on by an organization, where you can purchase books from the authors who might be speaking, conference memorabilia, or other fun things. Simulcasts are a relatively new concept, and they're also known as live simulcasts. And I would categorize this as a mini conference because, I mean, essentially that's what it is. These are events that are put on by well-known organizations. Instead of traveling around the globe, they'll select one city to hold the live event. For those who don't want to travel, you can then attend a simulcast at a church closer to your home. For example, the live event could be in New York City, but you live in Florida. Or the live event could take place in London, England, and you live in South America. A simulcast means that you are watching the same event at the exact same time as those who are there live, sitting in the audience. A local church will sign up and pay a fee to host. A recent simulcast that I attended was just $20 per woman to attend, but had we gone to the live event, it would have been $100 per woman. Simulcasts have given women who normally couldn't afford the opportunity to go to an event like this a better option. And since they are usually single-day events, there's no hotel involved. There's very little travel expense because they're within reasonable driving distance, and sometimes they provide lunch, which minimizes your food cost. For the hosting church, a simulcast only requires signing up with the organization, taking the payments, arranging the lunch, and being present for the event. Since the simulcast is usually promoted highly by the organization itself and the speaker, you'll also find simulcasts to be a great way for people in your community to learn about your church. Perhaps they get an email announcement or they hear on the radio that a simulcast is coming up. They'll log into the organization's website to find their nearest location, and that's when your church pops up. Retreats are very common for women's ministries because they are a mixture of those speaker workshops and then fun activities. Almost always, retreats are out of town, and this is on purpose. And the price of a retreat will usually include your lodging and food. The goal of a retreat is to give women an opportunity to break away from their everyday lives, retreating into God's presence, resting in Him, and refueling their spirit. Amongst the speakers and fun activities, downtime is usually planned into the agenda to give women an opportunity to reflect on what they're experiencing in the retreat and what God is laying on their heart. Also time to simply relax. One of the beautiful things about these larger events is that they are, by their very nature, gospel-centered. A parenting workshop is going to include biblical principles of parenting. A retreat is going to have at least equal parts of gospel and fun. Conferences and simulcasts are going to be filled with opportunities to hear the gospel, dig into the word, and pull us into corporate worship. Smaller fellowship events, we often find ourselves having to be much more intentional in the planning to not leave the gospel out. And I believe this is in part because we come at fellowship events from a very different direction than we do conferences and retreats. For this presentation, we are going to focus more on the workshops, conferences, and simulcasts. In the next presentation, we're going to expound on planning a retreat. The good news about conferences, workshops, and simulcasts is that you really have the option to attend them instead of planning them. So for a women's ministry team that is just starting out or who doesn't have a team member that has that spiritual gift of administration, attending one versus planning one is usually your best option. With technology at our fingertips, we can easily find events with a simple internet search. Look up Christian Women's Conference and you'll usually get many to choose from. There are some larger ones that will visit nearly every city and even multiple countries. Then you may find ones that are more regionally based that have only a few select conferences in a tri-state area. They can be found in large churches or in enormous arenas. And the price will vary based on these details. Most conferences will offer group discounts to your women's ministry as long as you meet the required minimum attendance. In the past, a church would have to buy up a chunk of tickets, taking either a deposit or the full amount from women in advance, or outright buying a conservative number of tickets and then recouping the expense later. Technology has now allowed these conferences to offer discount codes to the church. So instead of having to buy a group of tickets and assuming the responsibility for those unsold tickets, each person is responsible for buying their own ticket and using the discount code. This is fairly common with the larger conferences. The smaller ones, you still may have to resort to collecting the money at the church or choosing to forego the discount. Additionally, some of these churches will reserve a block of hotel rooms to ensure their ladies have roommates and are nearby each other in the hotel. Other churches have chosen to leave hotel arrangements to the individuals. Since the conferences usually arrange special conference pricing with local hotels, there really is no fiscal benefit to the church taking care of lodging. It's usually for the purpose of just keeping the group together at the hotel, making it easier on carpooling to the conference site, and for socializing after. I've known of several churches where the women's ministry uses the conference as an opportunity for team bonding. The leadership team will head up a day before or after the rest of the women. If the timing is right, they might even use this time to plan out their calendar. There are also several conferences that will hold a special event the evening before the conference begins that is exclusive to women's ministry leaders. They are usually called pre-conference events, and they will have additional pricing. The benefit of the conference setting is that you're not having to do any of the work yourself. As the leadership team, you get to sit back and enjoy the conference with the rest of the women from your church. At the same time, that means you are also subject to whatever the organization has decided that the conference is going to address. I have been to conferences where the speakers were speaking from their new book. This is not a discredit to what the speakers had to say, and they've been amazing conferences, so please don't misunderstand me. They were totally gospel-centered, many women were moved by the speakers, and those books were exactly what someone might have needed right at that moment in their own life to deal with a certain issue. These conferences are very much geared toward motivation and inspiration. Their worship sessions are usually amazing shows, and certainly the sense of fellowship among the women in attendance is strong. There are also good events to bring guests to. A new Christian, that woman that you've been trying to reach at your work, or even a family member that you've been trying to introduce to the greater family of believers. All of this said, make no mistake that the conference was an avenue in which the organization was introducing you to their body of authors and teachers, hoping that you will invest in their products for your personal use or church studies. These conferences may or may not have breakaway sessions. I've seen it go both ways. Some will include lunch and some won't. When promoting these events to your members, make sure you are clear about what the expenses cover and what they don't. I've also been to conferences that are very cerebral. They have a corporate worship opportunity, but the greater part of the conference is education-based. This conference may be a bit intimidating to a new believer, but don't naturally exclude them from the invitation. They can learn a lot at these types of conferences. The speakers at these conferences are very different than the previously discussed conference style. They may be more dry and straight to the point. The speaker may spend an hour addressing in depth a single chapter of the Bible. These conferences almost always have workshops, and they can be just as intense. You might be choosing between systematic theology, inner city evangelism, and ministering to the handicapped, all the way to controversial subjects like homosexuality, abortion, or understanding court-mandated reporting. A conference like this is usually aimed at people who are serving in ministry, but they're incredibly valuable to anyone who attends. I've also noticed that these conferences are the most common to offer student discounts, which is often better than the group discounted price. If you're taking courses at CLI, you're a student, so take advantage of those discounts when they're available. Since these conferences can be kind of pricey, this is a great opportunity for the ministry to work with your benefactor or the church in regards to scholarships. What I find is that many who need scholarships really only need a partial scholarship. They can usually afford part of the expense, but not all of it. Perhaps they can cover their ticket to the conference and their food, but it's the hotel that's the expense that's keeping them from going. Or, if it is local and they don't need lodging, perhaps they need help with just part of that ticket expense. Having good communication within the women of your church will usually help bring these women to light. There have been times in the past where our ministry had someone donate a full expense of a conference, but I didn't know who to give it to. I called our pastor's wife, and she was able to help me come up with a list of potential women. If your ministry is actually collecting the funds for the event, you can ask the women who are registering if they would like to make a donation towards the scholarship fund. Most women will donate $5 to $10 on top of their registration costs, and that can add up very quickly. Your church might also have a policy in place for scholarships, so don't be afraid to speak to your pastor or the finance committee. They will probably want to know who you are designed to give the scholarship money to, and then they may take a few days to get back to you. I don't ever recommend telling a person that they are being considered for scholarships. I won't even say something along the lines of, "Let me see what I can do." Instead, acknowledge their expressed interest in the event, and you can say something along the lines of, "Well, we'll be doing this again in the future, so don't get down about it." If they come right out and ask about scholarships, you can reply honestly that you haven't begun to review the scholarship requests yet, or that there are so many requests that are coming in, you haven't had an opportunity to go through them all yet. My goal is to never give anyone false hope. Work in the background, and then if the funds are available, bring them the good news. If you find yourself in a position with more scholarship needs than funds available, request a meeting with your pastor, or maybe just send a quick email. Inform him of the situation and those who are being discussed for scholarship. Ask for his opinion. He may know information about these women that could help you influence who you're going to give the gift to. A particular woman might be struggling with her faith, and he knows that this would be good for her. It might be a woman who has been lamenting that she's been struggling to connect with other women in the church. He may see this as a great opportunity for her. Or he may know that this is a woman who has a history of making poor financial choices and is constantly asking for scholarships. This might be a woman who has a history of signing up for things and then not showing the day of, and that scholarship money could have gone to someone else. Value his opinions, because I will guarantee you that he has more information than you do. And he may not share why he makes his decisions. I would just simply advise that you heed those suggestions, but don't read too much into them. He may have just prayed that God would reveal the names to him. There's also another option, where you can simply divide the funds. It might mean partial scholarships for everybody who's interested, but it is at least something. Offer to the women and give them a set amount of time to make a decision. And I do usually ask for some sort of financial commitment. If the conference is $150 and you can scholarship $100 of it, then give them a deadline for that additional $50. Or ask for a $20 deposit with their decision and the balance paid by a set date. In doing so, you're ensuring that they are serious about their decision. If a partial scholarship isn't enough and they can't afford the difference, you now know that you can apply those funds to the women who can. This will increase their scholarship amounts. Or you may choose to put the unclaimed funds into the women's ministry account and earmark them for future scholarship needs. Conferences are a big ticket item. They have a hefty expense and a time commitment that not everyone is going to be able to give. They're also finite in pricing. It is what it is. There are no unexpected costs that sneak up. From a financial standpoint, they're very easy to plan for. You usually know the dates well enough in advance. You can begin promoting and collecting the money ahead of time and make the arrangements for childcare, lodging, transportation. Conferences, unlike retreats, can be a little less personal feeling. So some women's ministries may go that extra mile. They may give every woman attending a pretty notebook and pen for taking notes, or a goodie bag that is filled with things like a pack of mints, a small pack of cookies, tissues, a pen. Those little things, tiny gestures that can mean a lot to the women who are attending the conference. So the idea is worth considering if it's within your budget. If you decide that your women's ministry wants to actually tackle putting on a conference on your own, you will want to pay attention to the retreat segment that's coming up in the next presentation. The process is fairly similar. Workshops and simulcasts are much easier events to plan for, and they are generally budget-friendly for the ministry and the attendees. Sometimes they're so budget-friendly that the ministry can offer them for free. They're also great projects to attend if you're a new ministry or you've never attempted to host your own event before. Although you may find that you don't need to, because they are already being offered in your area. I'm a huge fan of not reinventing the wheel. If another local church is offering a workshop and it's open to the public, go, and go as a group if you can. Trust me, they will appreciate seeing your faces. However, there will be times it's just going to be best to do it on your own. It might be because of timing, or you can't find the topic you would like to address available. The benefit of the workshop over another speaker event, like a brunch, is that it usually is much more straightforward. There is no need to set up special tables and decorations. You will most likely be sitting right in your church sanctuary or in your adult education Sunday school room, if you have. Chairs are usually set up in rows, and handouts for the attendees can be placed in their seats waiting for their arrival. A podium and a microphone might be the only tech required, unless you have a video to share or PowerPoint slides that accompany the presentation. There might be some light refreshments set up in the lobby, like water, tea, or coffee. As well, you may put out some fruits and muffins in the morning. If the workshop or simulcast is lengthy, you may break for lunch. I've seen some churches put out tables in the lobby for a catered lunch, and I've watched women eating packed lunches in their seats. You may even dismiss the ladies to a local restaurant, perhaps even arrange a special pricing if they show their waiter a special card or their name tag. In most cases, very little preparation is involved, because the event is about showing up and learning something more than the socializing and conveying general information. If you're doing a simulcast, they price the event based on the size of your church. You would divide that amount by the expected number of attendance, add in any lunch costs, and then you have your ticket price. I suggest calculating conservatively. For example, if you notice that your brunches have an average of 40 women in attendance, then I would expect 50 to 60 at a simulcast. If you get a greater attendance than that, then you will have a little bit of money in your women's ministry account that you can put towards future events. You might choose to spend it on the women who are coming to the simulcast. You can put together a goodie bag for each attendee or purchase a mini devotion book to send home with them as a gift. Just like any other women's ministry event, you need to decide if you're going to offer childcare. Some things to consider in this decision include, if the event is lengthy, can we find volunteers for that much time, or do we need to hire someone? This increases your expense. If we're providing lunch for the women, we will then have to provide lunch for the children. This increases expense. Is it beneficial for the children to be in the childcare rooms for that many hours, or are they better off at home? It is one thing to offer free childcare for a brunch that's only 2 hours long, but it's an entirely different situation when you're talking about a workshop or simulcast that might be 5 hours or longer. I've also known of situations where a mom didn't return after the lunch break because her child was cranky and just wanted to go home. On the other hand, if you are offering a parenting workshop and you have a lot of single moms in your church or community, offering childcare might be the only way that these women can attend. It may be wise to not publicize that childcare is going to be offered, but go directly to those women and let them know it's available for those who are truly in need. And space can be limited. Simulcasts are going to be the easiest of these two options because somebody has done all the work for you, just like in the conferences. You just have to promote it, address the lunch and childcare options, and then show up. A workshop will require a little more work on your part. What do we want the workshop to be about? What is the purpose or goal that we're hoping to achieve? Do we have someone in the church who can speak on this subject, or do we need to find a video presentation or hire someone to come in? How much is the speaker or video going to cost? If we're using a video, do we have permission to play the video for the large group, or do we have to pay a fee for that? Do we need to pay for advertising to the community, or is this just for our women? Are we providing childcare? Are we providing lunch or dinner? What materials do we need or want to provide? And how much will they cost? Where in the church do we hold this event? And how does it need to be set up? What are the tech needs for the speaker? And who is going to be responsible for it? It is a very similar list to that of a brunch, but a little bit simpler because there's no worship session, no fancy decorations, and no need for multiple people covering different speaking parts. Sure, you're going to open up the workshop with a simple welcome, an opening prayer, and introduce the speaker, but that's about it. And often, the speaker may have the intention to pray, so you may not even need to do that part. At the end of the workshop, you'll have a closing address, make any announcements, and you may choose to close in prayer. Again, that's if the speaker didn't do that already. They are really much simpler events overall. As a final note, I'd like to strongly suggest bathing these events in prayer, whatever they may be. Pray about what type of event you should be doing. Pray that they stay gospel-centered. Pray for the women who will be attending, as well as those who are coordinating the event. Pray at the open and close of the event. Pray, when the event is done, that God continues working in their hearts. Many women's ministries have a prayer team, and this is their only job. They pray over the ministry, the events, the speakers, and the women who attend the events, before, during, and long after. I've been to events where they created a prayer wall. Women could write their prayers down during the course of the event, and then those prayer cards would be handed over to the prayer team once the event was over. There are some events in which the prayer team was visible at the event during the course of the event in case anyone was in need of prayer. They were also available at the close of the event. Response cards are always a great tool, regardless of the type of event, to have on hand. Then your guests can request more information about the church, the women's ministry, ask for prayers, or request a pastoral visit or call. Retreats can be a much more involved process. There are some options available that can make them slightly easier, but be prepared for a lot of preparation and work. In our next segment, we're going to get to the nitty-gritty details for this type of event.